Let me pose this question. How many hours do you spend each week consuming news stories, videos, and even podcasts as compared to the time you spend consuming things that have more of an eternal value?
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the weekend edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. This has been quite a week behind us, and I'll tell you more about all the events of this past week, probably on Monday's program. To be honest, a lot of these programs had to be recorded in advance, so there's some things that I wanted to share that I don't yet have all the answers. So if you'll be patient and wait till Monday, I'll be delighted to share a lot more with you. Well, I asked this question at the very beginning of today's program. How much time do you spend consuming news, information, news TV programs, satellite cable, podcast, videocast, Rumble, on it goes. How much time do you spend each week? Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't spend any time. Believe me, I spend an exorbitant amount of time in research for this radio program. And sometimes I think maybe I've spent too much time. Maybe I need to spend more time covering some other topics that are equally as important, if in some cases not more important, to us and our families, our world in general. And I was thinking about that during this past week and even the week before. Now, on Wednesday, we made some changes in this program, and I gave you a little sneak preview, where I'm going to be getting some help from time to time in part of the segments. Instead of having, quote, a day off, it's going to be a little bit more time each day I get back to begin to work on some other projects. Doing this one-hour radio program takes a lot more than just 1 hour. It's not a matter that I walk into a room and I sit down and 1 hour later I'm done and everything's ready to go and I'm on to something else. The production of the program can take a couple of hours or more. There's oftentimes some editing that needs to be done. There's a lot of distribution work, writing up for the podcast, a summary of what the program is about, and then distributing it to the radio stations in a timely manner. All of it takes time, and I'm just one person doing it. So I have to make good use of the time that I have. So just in producing the program and doing what I'm doing right now in reading material for you and sharing, 2.5 hours start to finish. And then there are the hours of searching, looking, reading, and vetting out stories. I get a lot of suggestions. And some of the stories look very, quote, well, tempting to share because they have that headline that gets your attention. And you dig deeper, and you realize the story is much ado about nothing, or in some cases, downright just fake. And so there's the time spent in prepping. There's a few hours or more each and every day. And then I find myself consuming a lot of news and information in the evening. I don't watch regular TV at all. I mean, well, I take that back. Occasionally on the weekend, I may sit down in my easy chair and watch some TV programs from the 60s and the 70s and maybe into the early 1980s, and that's pretty much it. And some quality programming produced maybe from a family-friendly or Christian point of view. So I'm very limited in what we watch on TV. I canceled my satellite dish. Oh, we canceled that thing over a year ago. We do streaming and virtually no paid streaming, just a couple of news channels, and that's about all we pay for. And everything else, we just go through and find things that are of interest, both for our faith and for our knowledge. But even in what I do, I'm finding myself at times out of balance. And I'll be honest, it's easy to do. When you have the responsibility of a radio program like this, you're constantly looking, constantly seeking, constantly trying to get something that's different than everybody else has, or a perspective on a story that nobody else is sharing, or to kind of deflate some of the, for lack of a better term, you know, this fear-mongering that goes on to get people to look at websites and view videos because they're all monetized. It's not an easy job. And I, if I wanted to, I could be just like them and put all this stuff out there and sell out for clicks, and but I don't do it. I just feel that in doing this program, the most important thing I can do is get you some truth to ponder. There have been some stories I don't talk much about yet, and I may not for quite a while. Some people have said, what do you think about the incident a while back in Baltimore with the Francis Scott Key Bridge and all that went with it? And right now, I don't know what to think. A lot of theories out there, a lot of speculation. Things that I understand from technology makes it plausible that they had navigation issues and control issues because of the way, let's put it this way, this is not an old schooner with a big wheel and a throttle up there in the bridge. You've got electronic computerized control to everything. Could somebody have impacted that? Could it be damaged? I mean, could anything have gone wrong? Sure. And there's still a lot of unanswered questions. So from the realm of possibility, is it possible? Absolutely. In my mind, it is definitely a possibility. Will I get out there and tell you on this program that that's what happened? Of course not. Will I speculate on who the bad actors could be, if there are any? Maybe to a degree, but it's not what I need to do. There are other reporters closer to the ground than I am that can take care of those kind of news stories. I shared news stories on this program, and I felt at times like a voice in the wilderness crying out, like a watchman on the wall, and nobody was listening except a handful of you. With what I saw with the pandemic, the rollout of the vaccine, we were very much deeply concerned about it from day one. And the more that I dug in, the more that I prayed, by the way, the more I felt uncomfortable, and I shared what I thought with you. That's part of what this program is all about. Giving you truth to ponder. I'm trying to find out what is the next chapter of this program. I don't know what my long-term health outlook could be. It could be fair. It could be great. It could have some negative surprises down the road. We don't know. But I do know one thing. I'm going to continue keeping on doing this program for you as long as God gives me voice and a platform to do it. But I'm going to be seeking others to help me so I can change my focus. See, I've got a couple of other responsibilities in front of me now that I have to weigh my time and my ability and how to do all of it. I have a small church, and I really have not had the time to help grow it. Not that it's the pastor's job to do 100% of the growing and finding new people, but I need to empower those that I have to help in that endeavor. That's part of my job, and I just haven't had the time between all the health issues this past year and a half and trying to start a church and doing this radio program. Time is my enemy at times. I just don't have it like I need to. I need to be a better manager of it or delegate better than I have already. We have this wonderful opportunity to build a local FM radio station here in the Chilhowee, 7 Mile Ford area of Virginia. Not a big powerhouse, but enough to cover where the little church would have an impact. And I believe I need to spend a lot of time preparing for it and building it, which is another time taker from me right now that I just almost really don't have. So you can see where I'm at in all that we're trying to do. And that's why you'll be hearing Jim Calhoun a couple of times next week, and hopefully others that'll be guests to help me minimize where I can take back some time for research, take back some production and record time, and apply that time to building the radio station. And once the radio station is ready to go, to spend more time in building a local church, and then spend more time helping to plant churches in other areas. Because of the title of my office in the church body in which I serve, that is something I should be overseeing more of, and I just have not been doing it because of what I've been doing the past 3.5 years. Your prayers have been appreciated more than you'll ever know. And as I've said many a time, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. Yeah, I can talk about my health issue, and I could be dead and gone from a traffic accident in the next month or before this program even airs on some stations. You just don't know. Nobody's guaranteed anything. The only guarantee I have is my Savior. And I realize at times that the amount of time that I spend doing just a news and information radio program, yeah, there are times it's fun. There are times finding the sound bites and the stuff to make it humorous or memorable. Yeah, it takes work. I mean, it can be fun. But then I realize I need to be spending more time sharing the good news of God's word, not just the bad news of the world. And that has increasingly become something that is disturbing to my soul. And so I know that I've been doing some, shall we say, sharing of the good news on this program, but there needs to be an upping of that game. One of the greatest problems that I see today, in all honesty, is we have an anemic church in the Western world, here in North America in particular. It's an anemic church. You have, and I was pointing this out to my congregation here in Virginia this past Sunday, on Easter Sunday, how we literally have 70% of the people that just don't go anymore. Just don't go. And a huge number of people that have no belief system in any kind of religion, period. It is a dramatic change since 2000 and an unbelievable change since 1950 or 1960. We are not a more enlightened society. We are a more in the darkness society. And the church that used to be the salt and light in this world, it's lost its savor, the salt, it's worthless, and they've turned off their light, or the light is burned out. Or they're afraid to shine light on the sins that they secretly celebrate. We have an anemic church. Most of the mainline churches are a mere shadow of what they once were a century ago. Many have fallen into total apostasy, totally serving the spirit of Antichrist, and they're not really churches at all anymore. And I say that without any reservation. There are many churches that are making a mockery out of what real Christianity is all about. Didn't have a chance to talk about it earlier because of the recording schedule, and I had so many things to get done, but the abomination that occurred at the White House in Washington, D.C. for Easter, as the trans day of visibility, and no mention of Jesus, the resurrection, or Easter in terms of a biblical perspective were permitted. And somebody would say, separation of church and state. Well, that never existed before 1962. We went for almost 200 years without that issue. But the satanic people that try to take this world have got to push religion out of the way. Any oppressive society needs to take away your freedom of religion because they want you to worship them and their government. And the way they do it is they allow you, your carnal nature, to rise. There was a church in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I'm not even going to bother to name it. But they made a big, big deal this past Easter as part of their Easter celebration. What did they do? They reserved this solemn reflection and joyful celebration of Jesus Christ and perverted it to twist their observance into a drag queen performance. And on this day, that was to mark the most important event of the Christian faith. By the way, I'm amazed everybody gets into the Christmas spirit for months. Easter is really the pivotal point of Christianity, and it gets a day. And what did this church do? They bought in a bunch of perverted men dressed as women to do story hours and all kinds of things for children. These are perversions. These are total and absolute perversions. You have churches and pastors running away from the teaching of Scripture. They don't even hold that God's word is even true. They're cultish, and they spend their time celebrating sin. One of the reasons that I'm building this little radio station here in Southwest Virginia, there really isn't, in terms of a usable signal here in our community, there had not been a Christian radio voice that was receivable on most radios. Some came from a distance. And what little you could get was already somewhat contemporary. I never had that much time to really listen. Now we have a, shall we say, well-established contemporary Christian nationwide outlet in our town. It's really run out of another state. There's no employees here. But they are now an outlet here in our community. And they play on the radio a tremendous amount of today's contemporary Christian music. And I took a little bit of time because they just came online in the last couple of weeks. And I decided to listen a little bit. And my wife and I were listening the other day, and we looked at each other and said, "This is nonsense. The lyrics don't talk about Christ. Most of the songs are so wishy-washy and thin in what they had to say." And it's not a matter of the style of music or the instruments being used. It's the fact that nothing of value is being said. And too many of these songs were all about me, 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 what I feel, feel, feel. And then a lot of these contemporary Christian artists today, and this has been increasingly a problem. People like Kirk Franklin, you hear these people on all these contemporary, highly mass-marketed music radio stations, even if they're non-commercial, they're busy marketing music for the record companies. And it's a bunch of millennial mommies, you know, and trying to raise their Gen Z kids or young or the next generation beyond it. I can't even keep track. All about happy and good times. Oh, how is your life today? How is your world today? Did you have happy time at church? How is it at the daycare? It's all everything. It's a bunch of silliness and mush. There is some message, but it's being diluted by the world's message. And too many of the lyrics, way too many of the lyrics, just don't even, it's like, I've wanted to share it, I'm not going to have time today, but it's almost like they're afraid to drop the name of Jesus in a Christian song for fear of offending somebody. And if the name of Jesus offends you in a song, you know, ashamed of Jesus, shall it ever be a mortal man ashamed of thee? If you don't confess Jesus before others, he will not confess you before the Father. And too much of this Christian music is just happy talk. And many, and I hate to say it, not all, many of the modern churches, not all, many of the contemporary churches, not all, they've watered down the message. They have meaningless, just happy-feeling music. It's kind of like a little mini-concert to make me feel good about myself, and then a little pep talk with a little side of Jesus, and then some good coffee and a bookstore, and buy the music and the download. It's not church. The church is a living body of Christ, not an entertainment venue. Kirk Franklin, like I say, he's an icon in contemporary Christian music. And not long ago, he was touring and involved with a contemporary music collective called Maverick City Worship. Now remember, this is the guy that back in 2019 won the Christian Grammy, which is called the Dove Award. And he's known for his so-called gospel music that has been known to feature some cursing and foul language. He was intimately involved in the production of Kanye West, you know, so-called gospel music at the time. And now, and by the way, he's pro-choice. He doesn't believe that abortion should be limited. In other words, these are worldly people that are just selling you marketed music and playing you for suckers and fools. And he's on a stage twerking in a very sexually suggestive manner in Christian music. And there's no doubt that secularism has pretty much invaded, like a cancer, biblical Christian churches in this ever-evolving tide of all about me-ism. And the distinction has never become more profound. Biblical Christianity, which is anchored in the sovereignty and lordship of Jesus Christ, whose resurrection we celebrated this past Sunday, except at the White House. There they celebrated Trans Visibility Day and anything secular that has to do with the Easter Bunny, but don't you even think of mentioning the name of Jesus. Don't you dare go there. What a fake and phony person Biden is, talks about his rosaries in his pocket while spitting and cursing in the face of God and doing all those things the Bible calls an abomination. This march toward hell started way back in the Renaissance period in the 1700s. We had advancements in art, even technology and science, but it became a secular worldview increasingly. And it's a rebellion against God the Creator. It's a rebellion against the idea of even sin, guilt, or shame, because if it feels good to me, I should have every right to do it and nobody should say it's wrong. We have people in leadership in so-called what used to be Bible-believing churches are tearing it down from the inside. You find it in some Baptist churches and Baptist seminaries, Presbyterian, Methodist, the list goes on, some nameless contemporary churches where you have things like kingdom diversity is another term out there. That's just part of the diversity, inclusion, equity nonsense being pushed. Accepting homosexuality as normal within church leadership. Churches that are willing to marry two men. I'll give you one other sign of things you need to definitely avoid. Any organization that you may want to be a part of, even any store that asks you for your preferred pronouns, you need to start shunning them because you're giving them the power. Having pronouns in your bio demonstrates foolishness and a totally anti-Christian worldview. Man and female, God created them. It's that simple. And I am not going to play the game of preferred pronouns. I mean, I used to be on LinkedIn. I think I still am, but I don't use it. But that goes back decades ago when it first started and the kind of work that I did. And now they want me to put in my preferred pronouns. And I refuse to play the game of he, she, her, they, them, non-binary. I'm not going to do it. This is imaginary, made-up nonsense from the pits of hell, satanically inspired, and people that are worshiping demons instead of Almighty God. If you didn't have, I'll put it this way, anybody that has preferred pronouns in their bio affirming sin, I'm not going to listen to them anymore. I will not engage with anybody that puts in their bio, their email replies, if it says preferred pronoun and you're talking to me, I will no longer be talking to you. Just not going to do it. The church is anemic. And I know how hard it is to build a small church in the so-called Bible Belt. It is not easy. People are so conditioned in the past 20, 25 years that church is an afterthought. Church is something that if I can find the time in my chaotic world, I will go to church if I can find the time. If I'm not working, if I don't need to go to Lowe's, if I don't need to sleep in, whatever the case may be. I'm going to tell you one change I'm making in my life, and it's one of my dear friends, listeners, and supporters of this radio program that share with me something that he's already been doing, and it's increasingly been something that's been in the back of my mind for several months. The Bible says, the Sabbath is made for man. Man is not made for the Sabbath. Now, what does that mean? We need the downtime. We need that time away. We need rest. And what I'm opting to do, no, I'm not becoming some kind of a, I'm not going to church on a Saturday. I'm not becoming like an Adventist or Seventh Day. I'm not mocking you. I'm just saying that's not what I'm doing. I'm increasingly going to be taking from sundown Friday to sundown on Saturday as a time of rest to get away from the things of this world personally. And then I can be refreshed to be able to lead worship on Sunday, the first day of the week. I think we forget at times that the early Christians, because we forget how the time was measured in early Christianity, the sundown to sundown was a day. The early Christians met when the sun went down on Saturday night, ushering in the first day of the week. Some later on in the daytime on the first day. And so for me, I'm going to begin to take a leave of absence from the things of this world. Even the work of anything that I'm doing. And if I do any light reading, it's going to be in God's Word. If I'm watching anything on streaming television, it's going to be things that are edifying and non-stressful. I need to do that. I need to start creating that time for me, or I can't do anything for you or the missions and ministries that God has called me to do. I don't know how much time I may have on this earth. May have a lot, may not. But I want to use it wisely. Do you believe in the mission and ministry of Truth to Ponder? Like I say, we're going to be making some changes in direction a little bit. Not radical, but I need to spend a little more time on the things that are vastly more important. And politics and elections, as important as they are, they're not my primary focus any longer. I will talk about them, and then I will talk about them from our responsibility as followers of Christ. So if you believe in what we're doing, would you consider supporting us? By the way, one of the things I'll be building with this radio station, it'll be online as well as just on FM. So if you want to help us, please do. If you believe in our ministry, you can go to the website truth2ponder.com. truth2ponder.com. Look for the support tab. We use Give, Send, Go. Or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, Virginia, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia, and the zip code in Chilhowie, 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, that's what you make the check or money order out to as well, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319. That's 24319.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
You've got the oracles, my friend. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a real special gift in a moment. In the ancient world, there were oracles, the oracles of Delphi, the Pythian oracles. People would travel across lands and oceans and seas to get to the oracles, the person who was supposed to give them the oracles of God to speak for the gods. Well, they wanted to see that because in the ancient world, even the kings were awed by them to actually get counsel from the divine. And the Bible also speaks of oracles. Romans 3:1 says, What advantage has the Jew? It says they were entrusted with the oracles of God. What it's saying is the Jew was blessed, entrusted with the oracles of God, the true oracles. And what were the oracles of God? The revelation, it was the word of God, the Bible. And you know what? You too. You have been entrusted with the oracles of God. If you got a Bible, you've been entrusted with the very oracles of God. You've got the oracles. It means that the word of God is just a book. It's supernatural. It's from heaven and it's yours. People spend fortunes on psychics to get some glimmer of divine or supernatural counseling and they get nothing that's going to help their life. But you've got the oracles of God. You got divine supernatural counsel for your life direct from heaven. You got the oracles of what to do in your life, the oracles of God's will for your life, how to be blessed in your life. The very living word, counsel for everything in your life from the God of the universe. That's worth more than $1 million, more than $1 billion. It's more precious than all the oracles of the ancient world. And what are you going to do with it? What are you doing with it? You going to let it sit there on your shelf or on your desk unopened? How can you waste such a treasure? Open the Bible today, my friend. Receive a word from the living God. Don't lose the treasure entrusted to you because you, my friend, it's for real. You have got the oracles. Want more? Ask for Prophets of Lies on CD. Now, what if you could receive daily vitamins guaranteed to strengthen your spiritual walk with God? A 6-month supply for free. Well, you can with Sapphire's daily spiritual vitamins for victorious walk with God and updates on Israel, world events and prophecy and the incredible Mystery of the Temple Doors on CD. Yours free. You're going to love it. How do you get all these gifts free? Easy. Just remember Jesus' real Hebrew name, Yeshua, and you dial it. That's it. So to receive your free gifts, just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now, 1-800-YESHUA, YESHUA-1. Now, you can actually spread salvation around the world for very little through shortwave radio from the Arctic Circle to Jerusalem. It's amazing. It's like sending a billion tracks around the world. How? Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's Yeshua, YESHUA-1. Or you can write me direct. Here's how. Just write to the Nice Jewish Boy, Box 1111. It's in Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey. The zip, 07644. That's the Nice Jewish Boy. It's Box 1111. It's Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, and it's 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, live the oracles, my friend. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be to you in Messiah Hadavar, the Word of God.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of Truth to Ponder, this weekend edition. It's amazing how many churches celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ last week, how many secular organizations, they were busy, you know, having their Easter egg hunts and what have you. I noticed something that I found disturbing. And my wife and I were doing some shopping for things for the church a couple of weeks back, getting a few things we needed to get at the last minute for our celebration of the resurrection. And we went into this one very Christian-friendly store. I'm not going to say the name, and I'm not trying to be critical. But trying to find materials that would be Christ-oriented, resurrection-oriented, I couldn't find anything in a Christian-friendly store. I found every manner of Easter bunny, colored egg, egg dyes, and signage and cards, and but almost nothing that talked about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what little we found were napkins and a couple of small plates for, you know, paper plates for cake. That was it. And of course, the White House substituting Trans Visibility Day. What is really important? Take a few minutes and listen to the message that I preached this past Sunday. I want you to remember the basis of your faith in Jesus Christ and realize this should be the most important thing, far more important than today's news headlines. So join me now. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather around your word, as we celebrate the resurrection of your Son, I pray you're going to open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive what you have for us this day. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. He is risen indeed. He is risen. Just making sure you remember. I don't get a chance to wear this vestment that often. It normally is reserved for what I do, ordinations or special events, and I've got two different versions of this. And Christmas and Easter, maybe Pentecost, and that's about it. Otherwise, I just wear the regular stuff or even my sport jacket. So I kind of look forward to these special events like Christmas and Easter. They're big deals, but the world doesn't look at it as much of a big deal as it used to anymore. I noticed, even going when we were shopping for a few things for the church, you know, getting some stuff for downstairs and up here, even in a, I'll just say, a Christian-friendly store, finding Christian Easter stuff was virtually impossible. It didn't exist. Everything is pulling away from the old rugged cross, the empty tomb, into something different. And I don't want to sound political, but even the White House is not acknowledging Easter this year. Today, just so you know, has been proclaimed transgender, basically, visibility day. Not Easter. No proclamation for Easter yesterday. No artwork depicting anything regarding the cross or the empty tomb. They were forbidden at our White House. I'm not saying that politically. This is something that is globally happening. As Christianity is being shoved off to the side. Generally speaking, in the past, the attendance on services for Easter and Christmas has been generally over the top. 20 years ago now, I can remember, 20 years ago, the Christmas just prior and the Easter. The Christmas service was literally overflowing. You couldn't find a seat in the church at 11 o'clock at night. We did a late Christmas Eve service, packed. No room at the inn, no room in the church. We had to bring chairs into the side aisles in the back. Easter was pretty much the same thing. Saw a lot of faces, a lot I didn't know, a lot I thought I recognized. I remember this one gentleman greets me at the end of the service and just said, "I really enjoy coming to this church. The message is great. Music, we had a nice organ. Music is wonderful. Only problem is you always sing the same hymns over and over again." And I'm looking at him. "Really?" He goes, Yeah. "O come, O you faithful, and Christ the Lord is risen today." That's all I've ever heard in this church. He only came twice a year. Maybe some other Sunday, but I don't remember. But a lot of people back then still have the guilt complex. "Yeah, I guess I better get to church and get it all covered for the year. Either Christmas or Easter, or if you really want a good insurance, both. Maybe this way you won't be a stranger when you go to somebody's wedding or a funeral." Today, we live in a world, and in preparing for the radio programs that I had to pre-record for this coming week, I ran into this article, and it was talking about the state of religion. I'll just use that as a big term, religion, in America today. And I think I've mentioned this before. 70% of the population, and that includes pretty much around this part of the world, 70% of the people around here do not go to any church on a regular basis. Rarely, if ever, generally that once or twice a year. 70%. Only 30% go on a somewhat or regular basis. And even then, the 30% is averaging twice a month, not even every Sunday. You're down to only 11% of the population around here that actually go to church every Sunday. And it's a scary proposition because that has changed dramatically in 20 years, where the number was almost flipped 30 years ago. That's how we have changed over time. It appears the message of the cross doesn't mean anything to anybody anymore. Last Sunday when I shared Palm Sunday. We talked about Jesus riding, coming into Jerusalem, fulfilling prophecy, riding on a donkey. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And all the palms strewn, and even people threw their clothing out on the ground because he's royalty. What they wanted was earthly royalty, not kingdom royalty. And there's a difference. Jesus always said, my kingdom is not of this world. But even some of his disciples were saying, yeah, whatever. So when are you going to be king of this world? When are you going to overthrow the Romans? When are we going to get out of slavery and bondage? This is where their mindset was. And they saw this guy come and do miracle after miracle after miracle. But all they wanted was the temporal of today. That's the problem. We have the temporal of today, and that's why people have divorced themselves from their faith. They don't care. And you have the mentality, well, maybe if I live a good life, I'll get to a better place. And that's where it ends for far too many people. Ryan and I were talking. He's been with us since Friday. He drove up from the big city of Brunswick, Georgia. How many hours was it? 7 hour drive?
About seven.
It's about 7 hours. God love him for doing it. I'm getting where I don't like to do more than 6 hours in a day. We were talking about the state of the church, and I'm thinking from the time that I went into ministry, from the time that I took a leave of absence and came back to ministry, and where we are today. 30 years ago, I could have a little church in a tiny mill house in a small North Carolina town and fill it. I could have an old furniture store in a town in South Carolina and fill it. 20 years ago. Today, it's not as easy. People are just not as in tune. Their faith is in a box to take out just when we need it. But we don't want to be a slave to it in our minds. But instead, we allow ourselves to become slaves of this world. The cares, the concerns, the day-to-day problems, raising kids, paying taxes, having a job, the ever-increasing prices of everything. This is nothing new. This has been going on my entire lifetime. We can say it's new. We've been on a steady, you know, it gets worse sometimes than others. I know that when I technically retired, I'm watching how our income is getting smaller and smaller compared to just the day-to-day bills that come each month. And we're not buying anything different anymore. So I get it. I understand it. To me, personally, I know there have been times that I have not clinged to the old rugged cross. I know there are times that I have ignored the call that Jesus Christ put on my life. I know there are times that I've come up really short, even after I was ordained into the ministry. Doesn't mean just because someone lays hands upon you to preach, doesn't mean that you are suddenly exempt from all the cares and concerns of the world. Mark, I know you can. You and I could probably spend an hour or two or 20 talking about the fun of ministry. And how everybody loves you and no one ever abuses you or takes advantage of you. And Ryan, you're going to learn what I have learned and others before you. Those that were here a few Sundays ago when I had the ordination of Nathan, and I reminded him, you know, you're about to discover the underbelly of the church. The part of the church that has forgotten the power of the resurrection and looks to the power of their own mental processes and humanistic goals and achievements, the things that they want for themselves. Today we celebrate something that history is trying to bury. They tried to bury Jesus 2,000 years ago. and as we heard in our gospel lesson today, and as I shared last week a little bit, kind of alluding into today, we read the words, and they put Jesus' body in the tomb, and then they said to Pilate, and they said, you know, hey, you know, the deceivers will say that he rose from the dead, so we need to make sure that he's in that thing for over 3 days. And so Pilate, just to shut him up, posted a guard at the entrance to the tomb. And I can envision in myself, you know, the campfires at night, hanging around, you know, waiting for the 3 days, easy duty, just going to have a bunch of us out here to make sure that nobody tries to steal the body and say that he rose. And they're probably thinking, what did I do wrong to get stuck with this duty to have to hang out here for 3 days? And I told you that these people that the Romans had, these were not Italian guys. These were brutal Huns from up around Germany. They paid an army because they were too busy enjoying being rulers. And so they had a paid army. And these guys would think nothing about dropping you dead just because you don't look good to them. And they also knew, as Roman soldiers being well paid in silver for their services, if they fail, they might be finding themselves on a cross for failure. Failure is not an option to the Roman army. You either succeed or you die. We give you a job, you don't, you know, you just don't say we couldn't do it. No, you are to do it. And so these soldiers also knew, if anything goes wrong and that body gets gone, we could be basically killed. And they arrive at the tomb. And this is what has always stood out to me. They arrive at the tomb and they're expecting to see the guards. And they're hoping the guards will, someone will help roll the stone. We're now at three. We should be long enough now. And their concern on their journey is, how are we going to get that big stone moved? They get there and the stone is rolled away. The guards are nowhere to be seen. And they, what happened? And they walk into this hewned out tomb, and I can imagine they have something that they can see, and there's this guy in a white robe. Are you looking for Jesus? He's not here. He is risen. He'll catch up with you in Galilee. So tell everybody. Have a nice day. How would you react if that happened to you? I mean, that's the only way I can put it. This, put that in your mind. You are expecting to find a dead body that you want to preserve with spices, and you are dreading the smell of death, to be quite blunt. And the stone is rolled away. He is gone. And there's somebody in a white robe saying, oh, he's not here. Come back some other time. He'll catch up with you. Don't call us. We'll call you. And the doubters, all of it, we'll talk about it in the weeks to come. St. Paul summarizes it so well. Without the resurrection, we have no hope. Without the resurrection, we are the most hopeless of all mankind, of all creatures, of all anything. We have nothing. If the resurrection is a lie, then we are liars and we are hopeless. I'm amazed at how many church bodies are beginning to question and challenge the resurrection, and they claim to be followers of Christ. Are they following a dead Christ and a philosophy? Then they have no hope. Book of Revelation, they have no lampstand. They have no nothing. They're not even a church. The church is the living body of Christ, the ecclesia, the called out. And the only reason we can be called out and empowered and have anything of viability is because of what we're celebrating today. Final thought. In a few moments, we will gather around the Lord's table. And before Jesus was taken away before Caiaphas and then Pilate and then scourged, beaten, mocked by those same kind of Roman soldiers. They didn't care. They didn't care how much pain they inflicted. They had no conscience. It had been seared and burned so long ago. They were enjoying it. They were enjoying hurting somebody, tormenting him, whipping him, just ripping his flesh off. They thought nothing about driving nails in his hands. They thought nothing about mocking him and putting him up there. And yeah, King of the Jews, look at this guy. See, there's your king. Their conscience burned. The hordes of hell rejoicing on that day. And I'm not sure if Satan understood what was about to happen at times. I really don't. Sometimes I wonder. Did he know? Did he know that he would rise again and conquer death? But on that night, he gathered with his disciples and he gave them the bread and the cup. And he told them, I will not drink this with you until we drink it anew in the kingdom. But he said, but you continue to do this in remembrance of me. Early church did it quite frequently. There's a reason we're given these gifts. We may not understand it, but there's a purpose. Today, a world that on that Friday, if you accept Friday as the day or whatever, I mean, you can, I don't worry about those things. He died. If you were there when they crucified my Lord, you saw him die. You saw that body come down. You saw that lifeless body put into a tomb. And no, he wasn't just knocked out. He had blood drained out of him. He had been for hours just bleeding to death on a cross where he was asphyxiated. He died. And all hope was gone. But just like in this lesson, and just like something that Mark Holmes is about to share in just a moment, then came that morning. Then came that hope. Hope was gone. Hope was gone as he went into the tomb. And hope was restored when he rose victoriously from the grave. Father, I thank you for this time that we have gathered to hear what you have to say for us. Give us the joy that the disciples finally had when they realized he has risen and he has come back. And as St. Paul reminds us, we now, for the first time, we have that hope. Because morning has come and there was an empty tomb. Amen.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Just lost their dearest friend. All that he said, now he was dead. So this was the way it would end. The dreams they had dreamed were not what they seemed. Now that he was dead and gone, the garden, the jail, hammer, the nail. How could a night be so long? Then came the morning. Night turned into day. The stone was rolled angel, the star, the kings from afar, the wedding, the water, the wine. And now it was done, they'd taken her son, wasted before his time. She knew it was true, she watched him die too. She'd heard them call him just a man. But deep in her heart, she knew from the start, somehow her son would live again. Then came
Our time is just about up for this weekend edition, and I promise you that next week there's going to be a tremendous number of updates on this program. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I'll be sharing a lot. For now, suffice it to say there's a lot of things on my plate. Between doing this radio program, being the pastor of a church, and now trying to build a small Christian radio station, both to serve on FM in Southwest Virginia, and you that choose to listen online, there's a lot to be done. And I need your prayers and support now more than ever to keep all of this together. I pray that long-term my health remains sufficient to do the work that I have. Once again, your prayers are appreciated. We've been on the radio now for 3.5 years. And I can't even begin to thank you enough for all the support you have given. Whether we stay on WTWW is still up in the air. And it's a close call right now. But I do fully intend to remain on WRMI for the foreseeable future. If you believe in our mission and our ministry, today would be a great time to consider supporting us. There's a lot that needs to be done. And I need the finances, because see, I don't get paid. My time is free. Even in my church, I do not charge my church for my time. I'm not being paid even a housing allowance, nothing. I give my time. God has met my needs. I'm not wealthy, don't get me wrong, but my needs are met. All I want to do is see these ministries grow to the point that they can sustain and care for themselves as the years go by, if the Lord should tarry. There are times I have a hard believing the world can get any worse, but if our Lord should tarry, I want this work to continue. If you believe in this work, consider visiting our website, truth2ponder.com. There's a support tab, or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. Ancient Word Radio, P.O. Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.